Turn please to John 17. John's Gospel in chapter 17. And verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse number 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I'm pausing purposely. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. Now I'd like to turn to John chapter 14. All the readings are in John. So John 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I again pause, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now turn to John chapter 5. And verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now go back to chapter 3, and I'm only going to read half a text. Verse number 36, and I want to read the latter part of this verse, the last part. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. With what we have heard in its solemnity, I suppose I would do well to even pause and ask God for help. For what I want to present tonight to you that is the most sublime truth in all our Bible. In fact, it's the greatest truth in all the universe. It's under the expression, the work. I want to speak of the supremacy of the work of Christ. Secondly, we want to look at the way. I want to think of the simplicity of the way. Thirdly, I want to think of the word. And I want to think of the authority of the word. He that heareth my word. And lastly, the solemnity of it, the wrath, the solemnity of the wrath. See, the Gospel of John always couches things in very simple language. We could reach a boy tonight here sitting at 7 or 8 years of age or even younger. If we could get your attention, these words would even fit a boy. And I think when we preach the gospel, we should try to reach a boy or a girl, because if we reach them, we'll reach the rest. You know, we often think we're looking for some great fish. If a boy gets saved at 7 or 8, it's a great fish. For their life is saved as well as their soul. And my friend tonight, what I want to point out very simply is this, that sin is so great. You know, we have very little conception of sin in our day. I don't know why it is, but there seems to be a tremendous depreciation in the heart and minds of people as to sin. It has to be something ugly. It has to be something drastic. It has to be something, my friend, that you read in the newspaper, that's spread over in the television screen. Something horrible, horrific. But friend, sin, God alone can estimate, evaluate, and fully grasp what really sin is. And where we see sin in its ultimate, where we see sin, my friend, reaching its zenith,
is at the work of the cross.
In order, my friend, that sin, your sin, my sin, might be dealt with, that we might escape the judgment of God that we've been hearing, the awful great white throne, it took Christ to come to planet Earth and descend from the ivory palaces and the splendors of glory and come down to the womb of the Virgin and to move for 33.5 years. And this is what he said before they put a nail on his hand or feet.
I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
And my friend, that work, I want to try to grasp a little of it, that you might understand what it really cost in order that one soul would be in heaven. And myriads will be there, but in order that one soul would pass through the pearl-hung gates, it took the supreme, mighty, unparalleled, unmatched work of the cross. My friend, my Bible, if I read it aright, it's constantly bringing before me something of the mighty works of God in creation. And I love creation. You can't help but say how great thou art. But my friend, creation's work, it was only a stepping stone
for the work of the cross.
That creation that God formed, and there was nothing, my friend, amiss. God needed everything that he formed. He formed it with purpose. But my friend, the whole basic purpose of forming a great vast universe that cannot be comprehended was that God's Son one day would hang on a wooden cross, or as Peter says, on a tree. And on that tree, friends, God's beloved Son would perform the greatest work in all the universe of God. You know what happened? Number one, Satan was defeated. It caused all the havoc at the beginning. My friend, Satan got his death blow. He was conquered. When Christ hung on the cross, it says according to Hebrews chapter 2, that Christ rendered him powerless, who had the power of death. That is the devil. And I'm glad when I look at yonder tree and look back 2,000 years ago to a lonely figure upon a cross with a crown of thorns upon his brow, hands and feet nailed to that tree, friend. God's beloved eternal Son, the Son of his love. My friend, what he was doing, he was conquering the power of Satan.
I say hallelujah to that. My friend, tonight, I love the words of those old hymn writers, the sweet me fine. How sad is the service of Satan. How cruel the bondage of sin. How blessed when the chains are all broken and songs of deliverance begin. I want to tell you, friend, he held me for 21 years. He was doing a good job. He's holding you along with you in this world, friend, and you don't realize that the devil has you in a stranglehold.
You know what he wants to do, friend? He wants to have the last laugh.
And he wants to see you lost forever.
You don't realize that in this meeting there are prayers ascending from sins while we are preaching.
And to ascend after we preach, and before we preach, and through the day, and at the table, as eat their food, they'll mention your name.
You know why? To realize the devil has such a hold upon you, friend. You can't shake loose. He has you rocked to sleep, my friend. The whole world lieth in the arms of the wicked one. He knows how to soothe you.
He did it with me for all those years. And it wasn't a gospel preacher's voice that it was. And it wasn't the thunderings of judgment. And it wasn't the lake of fire with its intensity and reality. That all came into play. I tell you, it was the mother's love. I put oil apart from Christ's work and God saved me. The background of it all was the mother. She never closed the door like this. I was out in that old cold world, out at night, sometimes for a week at a time, never appearing. Away in the hills, lonely, weary and worn with sin. When I come home, I can see yet I used to look, and I could hardly find the doorbell, and I was finally touched. I could hear the window creak open on the dark road where I left. Didn't see a face, but I heard a voice. I could hear, "Sam, is that you, Albert? Is that you?" I said, "Yeah, Mom, let me in." She looked down. She used to get me under the armpits, help me over the threshold of the door, and take me up the stairway, and put me in bed. Sorry, this is a word of this. I'll tell you something. That lives with me more than the preacher's voice. I can hear often say to me, "Son, I didn't bring you up for this. I brought you up to see you saved. I look at you. I'm praying you've got to see. Friend, tonight in the meeting, there's some of you in this meeting. If you go to hell, I don't care. If you go to hell, you'll never, never say, 'My mother took them off me, and prayers were not offered for me, and the preachers didn't have an interest in me.' Friend, we all have an interest in you, and God has an interest in you, but your hell, friend, will be 10 times deeper than the poor man that never heard it. You die in your sins." Listen, friend. The work of Christ, sin was defeated. Sin was conquered, my friend. Not only the devil. Sin in its awesomeness. Sin in its immensity. Sin, my friend, that we can't contain within a human mind in all its stark reality. The heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? But friend, a dark Golgotha's tree, when the Lord Jesus said, "I have finished the work." He conquered sin. He conquered sin. Oh, I would like to help to tell you about that, friend. Sin of the past, the present, the future. Sin, my friend, that was a barrier to heaven. Sin, my friend, that will land souls in hell. Sin, my friend, that shuts heavens door against you. That sin and its ugliness, enormity, Christ conquered it on the cross. That's why I sing, "My sin, O the blessed," of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You ever thankful? You ever sit even in a gospel meeting just bowing and worshiping? That my sins that would have landed me eternally from God and hell, Christ conquered them and put them all away at the cross. The work of the cross. My friend, the devil defeated, sin conquered. And I'm glad to tell you more than that. Death defeated and conquered. Oh, that horrible thing we've been hearing about, death in its physical and spiritual and eternal character, friend, at Calvary. The Lord Jesus wrestled with the devil and defeated and conquered him. He wrestled with sin and put it away in all its dread reality. And thank God, friend, he conquered death. He says, you know, sometimes I feel in my preaching so much, I go home and I can pit myself and say, why did I preach about the resurrection? I forgot about it. I hope we never forget about the resurrection, friend. Plus it gives me a little love for my step. A little joy in my soul. Hallelujah, Christ arose. My friend, listen. I am he that liveth and became dead. That's the work of the cross. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death. I like the little story of the little fellow, you know. He was standing looking at the window, and there's a cross there, and there's some Bibles, and some scripture books there, and they're all, and the little fellow was looking in. And a man come along, kind of a skeptic, plenty of them around, and he come along and stood behind the little fellow and watched him as he was looking intently into the window. And the little boy was enjoying, just looking. And the man says, are you interested in that, son? Yes, he said, I am. I go to Sunday school. When I go to Sunday school to read the Bible. And he said, there's a Bible in here. And they talk about the cross. And the man says, sonny, that's all nonsense. You don't accept that. He tried to squash it out of the wee boy's mind. The wee fellow said, no, I believe it, sir. My mum holds it, and my dad holds it, and I love it, and I hear it in the Sunday school, and the Bible says it. Ah, the man says, bye, son. I'll walk on this. Ah, the wee fella, boy, all of a sudden, it just the way it done with me tonight, it just shook me for a moment there. Oh, but you're preaching about the death. What about the resurrection? And the wee fellow, as fast as his little feet could take him, he ran after that man, and he got him by the coat here. He said, just a moment, sir, I forgot to tell you, he rose again. Oh, my friend, that's what puts power, that's what puts life, that's what puts reality into what we preach. If Christ died, and that was all we're preaching and saying. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. And because he lives, we live also who are saved. Sorry to get a little excited. But if the resurrection doesn't excite me, what would? We're not in this hall just to sit and listen to gospel messages. We are here to rejoice and to enjoy and to be thrilled at the same time to be burdened. But those who are lost perish. Thank God the work of the cross. You know, let me tell you something about that work. The devil defeated, sin conquered. I couldn't help but think I was at the Holocaust Museum. I took a special trip with my wife and a few others, James Thompson, his wife, and Augusta, just to see the museum. If you want to be in deathly silence, amidst all the milling masses that are around, all those television sets, and all the pictures that are on the walls, you want to go there. And if you just want to get a little bit in your soul of how low a human being can go, go there. But you know, there's another story. I went through there. I couldn't keep the tears back. My wife broke down. And Lois Thompson had to run out and into the bathroom. The dark hand of human depravity in all its ugliness and heinousness was unleashed. One day, Eichmann, who was guilty, and you can hear him, you turn on the TV set there, and he gives you the whole the whole dramatizing of that scene, that courtroom scene, when they find him dead there. It's in a bulletproof case. They felt, the Jewish authorities felt in that trial, while there were many things to witness against them, the strongest witness would be to have someone come from Auschwitz to go through the death camps. And they got a man who had been through the death camps, Auschwitz, and they brought him in, and there's Eichmann there, sitting. The cameras are on, the TV cameras, the journalists are there, the newspaper reporters, the intensity. And that man came up, and as he was passing that great bubble, that shield was around it. And get into a state of compulsion. Listen to the story. Might help you tonight, boy. Might help you that are brought up in a Christian home. They went through him, they revived him. Got him up on his feet again. And now, after the scene is over, the journalists are peppering him with questions. What happened? Did you see Eichmann in all his sinister lies, in all his brutal depravity? What made you go into convulsions? What made you go into that uncontrollable sob? Who said? I looked at that man's eyes. I saw myself. I could do this. That's the reality of learning what I say. When I see the cross and what happens, I say, Albert, you could have not seen that. That's why I took the cross to deal with my sins. That I'm such a guilty sinner. I'm such a rebel against God. I'm so depraved in my nature. But my friend, while I haven't committed, there's within my heart and within my nature the seed of every sin that could ever be committed. I hope you learn tonight. That's why God sent his Son. That's why with the work of the cross, that's why he said, I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. We thank God for the supremacy of that work. It eliminates from every human mind that they could do one thing to merit God's favor. It's not in the gospel hall, it's not in baptism, it's not in the high church, the low church, the great churches, it's not in anything of man's efforts or doing. The work, the supreme work that conquered the devil, that conquered sin, and that conquered death. And you know, I'm hurrying back every night. You know, I can't help but take that. Hurrying back that night when I took my faith. I thought I was going to get through this, but you know, this is a wonderful story. The work that thou gavest me. If there's a soul here tonight and you've got to see that I deserve eternal death, and I'll be at that great white throne as sure as I'm sitting in this hall, at this Christ. I hope tonight, God, to just take your mind and focus it on the work of the cross. You know, I like what John Bunyan said, that a mortal dreamer always liked to read John Bunyan. And I like what he said when he's going along there in his dream, and he has this sack upon his back, tied with the cords around him. And he's moving up, and the evangelist tells him what road to go, and he heads up until he comes trudgingly along, and bowing down and down with the weight, a picture of a man under the conviction of sin. He sees the cross and his John, but I can't quote the poem, I love it. John Bunyan sees the cross, he says the cars begin to crack. And the burdens start to roll. And he says, blessed cross. And then he looked at an empty tomb. Blessed sepulchre. Then he said, I got 3 leaps for joy, but blessed rather is the man who there was put to death.
Do you see it tonight?
Oh, friend, it thrills my heart, the work of the cross. I hope you'll see the value of it, the worth of it, the supremacy of it, the need of it, the only thing that will land a person in heaven's fair glory. So someone all right to work. You know, the way, the simplicity of it. I'm glad it doesn't give my Bible 1,000 ways or 5 ways or even 2 ways.
But it only gives one way. And my friend Christ says, I am the way. I'm not the one to the other two expressions. I just call it this the way, one way. And I know what some of you will say tonight is you're the right. And I ask you a pointed question. What are you depending on for heaven? You'll probably give me quite an answer. And you know what some of you? You'll try to go around like a curve ball. But if I ask them tonight, whatever develops, and I don't do it, I don't run the balls. But if I said to you, sir, what are you depending on for heaven? What are you down with? Yeah. I know what you'd say. What's ready to stop? You would say it, couched in similar words. Jesus. Yeah. Hey! You know, I'm a parent. I've got a car that's so kind to get in the car. They go off and I'm right to work at the restaurant. Oh, if you want to know anyone in the store dressing, my wife will tell you. I always get there eventually. You'd have to do a lot of asking. I need to have a bath. I'm sorry, I remember heading up one down the 7th journey when I took it to the ditch. What? I was sure it was right. And yet, at the same time, there was always lodging in the night. Are you sure? And then I looked at it, well, I do remember that farm. And that's something crazy to see. Oh, yes, that's a castigation. Yes, it's a castigation. I was setting myself up, right. That's what I said, it's a better set up. Yes, I think I'm alright. I feel I'm alright. I belong to the church. I'm a pretty good person. And I have the experiences of the Lord and kind of. You know what brought me into a gas station? An empty tank. So I had to fill up. And I didn't say to the man, I suppose I am on the wrong way. No. I said to the man, I'm on the right road to Hartford. I'm on the wrong road. I have never got through the door. I have never got to the way. I have never bowed in my sin and accepted Christ. And I hope tonight you get on the way. Only one. Let me say, you know, if someone can't follow us, the word of Christ is supreme. The way is simple. I hope someone can get to the word tonight. The word. You know, I've got the authority of heaven. The height. Going to heaven. Hear it. My word. Believe that God has sent me half of a lasting life. Shall not come into condemnation. It's past from death. As you leave this meeting tonight, there's something I can't say. See your business. I can't read your heart. You're old enough. Can't let you know your name. Your head is off. There's something invisible. Hasn't been executed. And it's over. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. As I go, I guess go first. rich picture of the Seventy Kittens. He went, ask the picture of that picture. He went to the left. But I will. Can I be the back? Or send forth his heart to the very best. No matter. He could at the back, because there's that, beware as he takes away the scope, there's the passing power there. And that man, it was true, mentally used, but even in his speaking words, people felt to be at the power of the man. He looked at his audience, doesn't he? He said, my subject tonight. Happy Irish man. Broke out of shock. He turned around, this way, his back to the audience. And he stopped. Then he turned around again. He said, my subject tonight. Again, turned on to shock. The author said, you can come to words like you've spoken of. Such as Father and Master. And after all, the author's first name for that. From the audience, I didn't ever say, okay, pardon me. Go down. He said, my dear people, crying for mercy. And calling mercy upon the needy of Christ. That prayed back away into the darkness after about an hour and a half. The next day, took the wet leaf home, went home knock after knock after knock after the door. Were escorted into the presence of the preacher. Each one was here. I was looking at it. And I gave a lot of culture for it. I wanted to tell you that it was the Christ of Jesus. Were you good? The what? The way, she said. The word, so far. Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. What can we say? We can't save a soul. But we thank thee, God can. Thou save the number in this meeting, and to God be the glory. For everyone saved, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the work of the cross stands between their soul and everlasting judgment. And oh God, we thank thee for the word of God that assures us. For those not saved tonight, we wonder how they can sleep, how they can leave, how they can procrastinate. We cannot but conclude, and our brethren and sisters, we'd all need to pray that God will muzzle the power of darkness. That these boys and girls and men and women will not be held any longer and rocked to sleep with eternal judgment living. Oh God, help us in the meetings. Come among us. May the Holy Spirit be present. May the authority of the word be felt. May the power of Christ be among us. See us souls tonight. We ask it in the fragrant name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just one verse of a hymn, and the meeting is concluded. Number 82. And we're going to sing one solemn verse of this hymn. It's all solemn, but verse number 3. O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? Leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell. Sight of the heavenly shore. Just that verse 3. We'll sing it solemnly, and the meeting is concluded.